you know what? I think I'm going to get right into the service. Am I forgetting anything? Let's do that, because I want to specifically bring this word this morning. I was running a little late this morning. You say, what else is new? No, I've been doing good. And, but I thought I was ready for this message this morning. And I found out the Lord said, no, that's no good. That's not. He didn't really say it wasn't any good, but he began to change it. And so, anyway, that's just fine. God can do whatever he wants. But I will tell you this. There's a lot of people that's been in ministry much, much longer than I have. But I've been in full-time ministry over 32 years and 10 full-time or part-time years before that, ministering and singing and almost every weekend. So probably I could say 40 years. But I must tell you that I have never felt more pressure and more challenged than I am right now at this time. And I would imagine I probably join many others in saying that same thing. Because this is a place, goes without saying, a place where we've never been before. And it's a historical place. It's the beginning of a new era, a new century. Actually, we're in our second decade of the century and the millennium. But what a blessed people we are to be in this place and time. And yet it is so awkward. And last week was Thanksgiving, you know. And I pray you all had a wonderful family Thanksgiving. We did. And we didn't draw back. We just went ahead and had Thanksgiving together, enjoyed ourselves. Did you? I know you did. And but with all of that, you know, they tried to squelch it and tried to put it down. But I came in here and I was praying all week. I mean, all week long, I seek the Lord and say, Lord, what would you say? Because everybody has something to say. I mean, you can look on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere else, and you'll see many ministers and many people. And there's never been a time where more people are dreaming. And thank God, that's what happens at the end of time. And that's what happens in great and mighty moves of God and revivals. People start dreaming. And they start seeing things, and they start having open visions. And so you'll dream, and you will have open visions. And so I knew it was Thanksgiving, and I'm like, Lord, I'd like to bring a nice Thanksgiving sermon. But with the things going on around us, it just didn't fit, though we gave him praise, and we gave him worship, and we're free to worship at Landmark. You can dance, or you can shout, or you can raise your hands, or you can sit there. Whatever you feel to do. You can whisper your praise, or you can yell your praise. Just be comfortable when you're in this house, because that praise, your praise, belongs to God. So we know that darkness is so heavy on this earth, and corruption has ran so deep. I mean, corruption is deep, and it's been so hidden, but now it's being revealed. And the covers are being pulled back. And now the evil ones that once were able to hide it, see, when God dips his hand into things, everything changes. The things that they could once hide, they cannot hide anymore. Oh, they would like to, but now they're just wide open. And they're unashamed. And they're vocal. And they're loud. And I'm sure they leave their platform saying, ooh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't let that go out. But God reveals whatever he wants to reveal. And it is so dark, and corruption is so deep on this earth. You know what? I think we've seen that scenario before. If we went all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, we would see that darkness was upon the face of the deep. Oh, yeah. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and it was chaotic, and it was without form, and it was void, and it was just a whole bunch of nothing. And yet the Bible says that the Holy Spirit brooded. He was brooding over the face of the waters. He was just brooding. And you know what I think is happening right now? And I believe we can verify it by the word. That in this deep darkness on the earth today, that the Holy Spirit is once again brooding over the face of the deep. And it looks like some things are being held back. And they are being held back because of the church. The church is holding things back. But when we are taken out of here, everything is going to break loose. You think it's bad now? You just wait until the church is taken out. And then all hell literally breaks loose. But these things are being revealed. Now, Jesus foretold us many times, Matthew 24, Luke 21, 25, 2 Timothy, the third chapter, Ezekiel 49 and 47, you know, the book of Revelation. You can just go on and on where Jesus foretold the things that would happen in this hour. He said, in the last days, these things will come up on the earth. Matthew 24. I mean, there's just so much that we have talked about over the years about the birth pangs that will come up on the earth. And you know what? There's more to come. Amen? There's more to come. And you know what? There's worse to come. There's heavier things to come. There's more darkness to come. But Isaiah 60 is also come. It says, when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. Would you say gross darkness is on the people? Then it says, my glory will be seen upon you. You who? You, the body of Christ. My glory will be seen upon you. My light has come. The light will come right in the middle of the darkness. And they will wonder, how did this happen? Where did this come from? And I want to tell you, church, that this thing that's going on right now is much bigger. It's bigger than COVID. And it's bigger than a pandemic. And it's bigger than an election. And it's bigger than Trump. And it's bigger than Biden. It's bigger than anything we've seen. But I'll tell you today, it's bigger than us for sure. But God still knows what's going on. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord gave to me yesterday morning, very early in prayer. And this is what he began to bring together for me this morning and took me back as I went back to my notes to see what he said. And I want you to hear this. He said this, because I had sought him yesterday and said, Lord, this thing's bigger than anything that we have seen. And I'd had a dream, excuse me while I jump off a minute, I had a dream the night before about a young woman. She's probably 40-ish, maybe almost 50. Anyway, always a happy girl, married, got a beautiful family, all is well. Hadn't seen her in years, hadn't even thought about this girl in years. And I had this dream about her, and it was so vivid. And she came, she and I were in a beautiful place, and she came in, and I said, hey, you just don't look like yourself. What's wrong? You used to have that beautiful smile. What happened to you? She said, I'm not myself. I've just been so depressed. I've just been so depressed. I don't know how I got into it. I don't know how to get out. And everything's going well in my life. And this depression, though, it just feels like it just slipped up on me. It's nagging at my heels. It started like oppression. And then it's overtaken me. And I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. And she just saying all this. And I woke up. Well, I forgot about it. And yesterday afternoon, it came back. And I thought, well, that was a crazy dream. Maybe I ate a couple of pieces of that fudge I made before I went to bed. And, you know, it says, in a multitude of business, you dream funny dreams or you eat funny things, you know. And so, but as the day went on, I kept thinking about that. And I thought, well, I'm going to see if I have her number. And you know what? I had her number in my contacts. So I called her and I left a message and I said, listen, if you could give me a call back, I want to talk to you for just a minute. And she got back to me in a couple hours. And she said, wow, so good to hear from you. And I said, yeah, I know. I said, but I had a dream about you. Well, she was all ears. Well, when I told her, she starts crying. And I could tell she was crying. And she said, yes, yes. Oh, my goodness, everything that I said to you is true. It started like that, and it ended up like this, and I'm just tore up. I don't know. My husband doesn't know what to do with me. Anyway, I'm just saying there's more where that came from. There's more coming. So pay attention to what you dream, because it was on, I'm telling you. But here's what the Lord began to say to me, and I want you to hear this. He said, this is about my kingdom and my government. When I was saying, Lord, this is bigger. This is, I know it's got to be bigger than all this. It's about something else. It's not about Trump. It's not about Biden. It's bigger. God, what is this about? And it began to flow. This is about my kingdom. It's about my government. Be encouraged. I am bringing my plans and my works together. They have seen you. This is what I'm calling my message today, my message title. They have seen you, but they are about to see me. The title message, if you look for it online, will be called, They Will See Me. Up until this time, he said, they've been looking at the church. They have looked at you, but they are about to see me. This is a day of my fullness. My church will bring in the mighty harvest. And they need some help. Because the harvest is ripening fast. This is a day of preparation for my coming. You will see me miraculously overthrow the Jezebel's evil agenda. Hallelujah! But my cleansing reign must come first. And my healing reign will come. You will see. This is a day of wholeness. W-H-O-L-E-ness. Wholeness. But tell my people, be not deceived. God is not mocked. I love it when he quotes his own word. He was quoting Galatians 6:7. And I want to tell you this, it's my own words. Hear this. Hear it, people. Hear it. He said, be not deceived. And I want to add to you this, saith the Lord. Do not believe the lies being spoken into your ears, saying that you are protecting yourself from God's house. Don't you dare say that, because that is a lie from the enemy. He wants you to feel like you're protecting yourself from God's house. To protect yourself from God's house is to protect yourself from his people. To protect yourself from his people is to protect yourself from him. And that's when it gets scary, and that's when it gets really, really dangerous. Now, I go back to me now. If your immune system is low and down, like one of the brothers in the church, we know if his immune system is very low. We certainly understand, brother, and I pray for you often. You know who you are. Then you have a right to stay home. If you are sick, then you have a right to stay home. If you have to quarantine, then you must stay at home. But I look at Sister Wanda, 90 years old. In fact, Parker had a birthday this week, and he says to me, Nana, do you remember when we went to that drive-by birthday for that girl who turned 90 years old? Oh, yeah, I remember that girl. Isn't that good, Wanda? A girl that turned 90? I said, oh, yeah, I remember that girl. But she's here. Yeah. Mother Garcia's here. Up in her 70s, 80s. And our sweet Rosalie is here. I mean, we're here. And if you're sick, I understand. But can I speak for the Lord this morning? Of course I can. If you don't tell me I can, I will. Of course I can. I'm his mouthpiece standing here today. But there's a lot of mouthpieces out there And there's a mouthpiece in your ear that's constantly telling you lies and feeding you a bunch of baloney. And when you turn on the news, you don't know what you're going to get. But I want to tell you the truth today, especially those of you at home, because these are here. If you're still working and you're still shopping and you're still traveling and you're still eating outside and you're still doing what you want to do, then you are totally being deceived. You're deceived. Now, look, go somewhere. Now I may have made you so mad you'll never come back to Landmark. That's okay. I just don't want you to be deceived. Just go somewhere. Just get with God's people and don't you cower down to fear. And please don't use it as a dumb excuse. Just a crazy excuse. Isn't it amazing to bring a silly excuse in the name that's above every name that is named? Bring an excuse in the name of Jesus that I must stay home and protect the people of God and protect myself from the church. Then stay home and quit going to work. And don't you go anywhere. Just lock yourself up in your little home. Keep your hips on that couch and don't move. Then we might believe you. I'm just telling you, it's getting scary around here for the body of Christ. You see the games people play. And that is according to, you can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It talks about the people rose up to play. This is not a time to play. If you wanted to play, you should have done it in 2015. But don't fool with 2020. This is not the time to mess with God. Don't do it. Because judgment is upon the earth. And his glory is upon the earth. And darkness is on the earth. And his glory and his blessings are upon the earth. Okay, let me prove what I'm saying. John chapter 9 verse 4 says work. Listen, church, are you looking at me? Work while it is day. Why? Because a night's going to come when no man can work. You better do it now, because he said if it gets darker, if you think you're afraid now and you can't go out now, you're not going to do nothing then, because you're afraid of everything that moves. All right, now let me give you something really heavy, and I pray everybody at home is listening to this. Write the scripture down, you guys, so you will have this. You might need it. Be careful how you give it out, not to get somebody to throw something at you, and don't go Bible thumping. He said you'll be known by the love you show. But I'm ministering here today, so I've got to bring the truth. And I don't back up 1 minute. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. I pray you can get that up, Denise. Let me know when you got it up, honey. Look, read it with me. Look, if you run with a footman, that means a people of God or just plain people. If you run with a footman and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? What you going to do when it gets harder, when it goes faster? And if in the land of peace, see, we got peace right now. Man, we just had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It's peaceful in the church. Everything's good. You know, I mean, there's some people going through some stuff, but other than that, it's peaceful. And in the land of peace in which you trusted, you used to trust the church. If in the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? What are you going to do when the flood starts rising? I'll tell you what you're going to do. According to Jesus' words, Jesus himself in Matthew, in three of the Gospels, Jesus says, there was a man who built his house upon a rock. That's this, the rock, Christ Jesus. He built his house on the rock. And when the winds blew And the rains came, and the floods rose. His house stood like a rock. You know what that means? It means those of you that seek him first, you've been bold in your faith, you've stood, you've walked through trials that other people would have folded under. When you went through that fiery trial, you stood and you put your face like a flint and you held on to this and you held on to Jesus and you were not wearied in well-doing, but you stood and your house stood solid. But there is a man who builds his house on the sand, and that's money, entertainment, if you can do that now. You know, a lot of different things. On when the man that builds his house on the sand builds on when things are good, and when things are bad, they fall apart. So Jesus said, if your house is built on the sand and it's not built on this, and it's not built on him, and you are not keeping your eyes on him focused, then he says this, when the winds blow and the rains come and the floods rise, it says that house crashes. And it falls. And you know what else it says? Jesus didn't stop with that. He said, and great is the fall of it. I mean, it's demolished, just totally annihilated. It just caves in. So we better learn how to run with the horses and when the Jordan is overflowing. I'm just saying, folks, we better figure it out. Y'all hear me? We better figure it out. We better figure it out real fast. Because these are the days that Daniel and Elijah and Jesus spoke about, and the Apostle Paul. So you better stay with God's people. Who are you running with right now? I'd like to ask you, who are you running with? Are you running with just the work people that you work with because you're staying home? Are you running with your buds? I mean, your best friends. Are they Christians? Are you running with the school? Are you running with the guys you work with? Who are you running with? I would say you better run with God's people. You better run with the horses, and you better run with those who are not deceived. Stay solid, folks. Stay solid. Keep your face like a flint. Build on the rock. And not on the sand. Man, we can't cave now. You got to be with believers, not non-believers. Stay with us. Stay with us. Now, I give this to you, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and especially to those of you who are being baptized today. Please look at this. This is the sweetest verse. I love this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Why don't you read this out loud with me? We're reading from New King James. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and also he'll do it. He said, I will do it. I will sanctify your whole spirit, your body, your soul, and your spirit, and I will sanctify you completely. See, sanctification's an old word now. You kind of laugh at that old word. I saw a preacher, big preacher on Twitter yesterday, and he used an abbreviation of a cuss word. I'm thinking, why did he use that? Is he sanctified? No, if we use words like they use, we watch what they watch, we do what they do. See, now some of you think, wow, that's old-fashioned. I don't know if I like this church or not. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. What matters is this. If he said, I will sanctify you wholly, he means I will sanctify your spirit and your mouth. You say, ooh, really? Oh, yeah. He'll sanctify your mouth and your feet and your hands. He'll sanctify us, he said, holy. So today we're going to receive communion together. And I don't want you to miss this, because This is a thus saith the Lord, though it is going to happen right now. We're going to receive communion together. And I pray that every single one of you that's in this house will receive communion. You say, well, I'm a divorcee. Receive communion. You say, well, I'm not of this church. I'm Catholic. Or I'm the. You receive communion. The only reason you don't need to receive it is if Jesus is not in your heart. And you're living all messy. But you can repent today and receive it. Okay, so I'm not one of those. We're not one of those churches where you can't receive it if you're this, this, and this. Who are we? Jesus said, you receive my body. So some are going to be, we are all going to receive communion, I pray. Some are going to be water baptized. But you know what I heard the Spirit saying? Some are going to be Spirit baptized. Today. Today. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. You go, woo, I'm out of here. You better stop. You want the whole scripture? I know some back out at certain places. But see, we need to be able to speak in tongues because there's times when your English stops and you don't know how else to pray about things. I mean, you just do not know what else to say. Have you ever been there where you've just prayed and prayed your way out and you just don't even know what else to say? And then when you start praying in the Spirit, Paul said you pray in the Spirit. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. But we don't need to pray in tongues when we're praying over the food. Don't be stupid. Pray in English over the food. When you're among unbelievers at work, don't you dare start praying in tongues. They're going to carry you out within a... See, he don't want us ignorant. But he said, when you're in the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit. And I'll pray things that you don't even know you should pray. And some are not only going to be Spirit baptized. Some of you spoke in tongues years ago and haven't since. I believe you will this day. I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit said this is the day of wholeness. And for you at home, too, if you're not mad at me already, but I'm just saying some of you are going to snap out of it, sister. You're going to snap out of it, brother. And you'll be filled, too. And some of you are going to be made whole today. I mean, be healed. Some of you are going to be healed of that diabetes. You're going to be healed of blood pressure. You're going to be healed of that soreness in your shoulder, in your leg. See, these are things that God wants to do, and he wants to do them this day because there's not been a whole lot of it done. But he said, they will see me. They've seen us, and we've not done much with this thing. Now, we haven't done very much with it. But he said, they're going to see me. So some are going to be healed right now. If you will, do you receive that today? He said some are going to be healed because this is a day of fulfillment. This is a day of fullness. Now, in Matthew 4:18, it says Jesus came for this. I'm going to turn there real quick. Say, Pastor, do you do anything real quick? Yes, I do. All right, here it goes, Luke 4:18. Here's why Jesus said, this is the main reason I came. I came to do this. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is when he revealed himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And it said in verse 20, then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down, and all the eyes of those in the synagogue, they were fixed on him. But I want you to see verse 21. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. It's already been fulfilled. This is what Jesus came to do. You say, why aren't we seeing more of it? We've seen some, and you and I wouldn't be sitting here today if we hadn't received this. Because the gospel was preached to us poor old spirits when we had absolutely nothing. When we were living for the devil and we were in his company. So he saved us. We were in a prison house spiritually, and he set us free and opened the door and brought us out, or we wouldn't be here today. He has already done this. I mean, he opened our eyes to see things that the world cannot see. It says they don't get it because they're natural to him. But to us, they're spiritual, and we see. And he said, I came to set you free. Those of you that feel like you're in a prison house in your mind, I told that girl I was talking to yesterday for 3.5 years, years and years ago, I was in a deep, dark depression. I had no thought of any way out. And he brought me out. And it was like being in a prison in my own mind. And some of you are out there this morning just like that. And there's probably some of you in this house this morning that are like that in your own head, your own mind. And you feel like you're in a prison. And Jesus said, well, that's what I came to do. I came to let you out. I came to set the captives free. I came to recover sight to the blind. Some of you may be sitting here this morning or out there and you say, man, my vision's gone. I used to have a vision. I thought I was going to accomplish this for God, and I thought I was going to do that, and I thought, and I thought, and I thought, and I haven't done anything. And now I'm too old. Now I don't have any money, and now I've got an empty nest, or now I've got these kids. But Jesus' words were fulfilled that day. Been 2,000 years, and it's been crusted over and crusted over and crusted over and crusted over to where a lot of people don't even believe what I just read you. But praise God, Melissa. We still believe it. You're sitting here today because you still believe it. Oh, yeah. He said, I came to set at liberty those that are oppressed. So, we have waited, church. We have waited for centuries and centuries and centuries. You say, we've been waiting for revival. You've been talking about this ever since you founded the church. No, 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 no. Long, 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 long before that. Centuries. We have waited to see what these people said, saw. David even said, oh God, we haven't seen what Moses and his people saw. And you and I said, God, we haven't seen what David saw. We didn't see what Paul saw. We didn't see what Peter saw. We've never done what Peter did. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, but you are, our people are going to see me now. They saw them then, and they see us now. They did miracles. We've done some, but not many. But he said, now they're going to see me, and they will see me through you. I'm telling you, this thing is all about his plan and his works and his desires for his people. So, dear Jesus, I did the best I could to bring this word to your people today. And so, Lord, we are going to come to this old watery grave in a few minutes. We're not coming to be saved or get saved. We are coming because we are. We've received salvation. We've received redemption. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. We're going to come to your table and receive. But right now, you said you wanted to make some people whole. You said you wanted to make some people healed. So in the name of Jesus, come on, get in agreement with me right now. Come, bring your mind over here with me. Bring your spirit. Get your spirit right here. Come on, put your spirit with me. Come on. Come on, church. One mind, one accord. No music yet. I just want us to get in one mind and one accord. Would you stand with me for a minute? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, if you need your vision restored, just put your hand over your eyes. If you're battling depression or fear, put your hand on your forehead because that's where the fear factor is. Put it right there. He said, I came to let you out of that prison. I don't want you in that prison, not one more day. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the sweet people at home right now. We shall receive. We shall hear testimonies of this day. You said to this day, the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. But Lord, you said, this is filled full. We are filled full. Ephesians, you said, oh, be full of the Spirit of God. You said, have the fullness of God. Be filled with the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be filled with the Spirit. Father, that person that's hurting in their neck, put your hand on your neck and let that thing go now. Satan, to get your hands off of God's people. Father, release your healing from heaven now into that man's neck, into that deafness in that ear, in Jesus' name. In that stiff neck, in those shoulders, in that pancreas, in the liver, in the kidneys, in the bowel tract, in the feet, the neuropathy, oh God, the numbness in the back. Come on, let it go now. Put your hand there. Come on, he's releasing it from heaven right now. Somebody's feeling it in your lower back. In Jesus' name, Father, I praise you. I praise you. I thank you for this day. That one at home sitting on the sofa, Lord, can hardly get up because of their back. That sciatic nerve. We speak healing. Jesus, you said that's what I came to do. I came to heal. I came to preach a gospel to the poor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would somebody praise him? Lift up your hands and praise him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Sit for just a minute, please. I want you to see this. Please have a seat. Honey, put up Mark 14. Mark 14, and we're coming to the table. Look at me a minute, folks. Y'all remember the woman? She was not a good woman. But she knew Jesus had what she needed. She knew he was the only one in the world that could do anything with her mess. I mean, he was the only one that could help her. So that woman somehow broke through and went through all the disciples, and they're all there, and they're all trying to stop her. And she got over there, and she had this bottle or a box of oil, and it was worth a lot of money. And it's like she took this oil that was in it, expensive oil, and she just poured it all over Jesus' head. Just poured it all over him and anointed him. And I'm telling you that for a reason. Because when she poured that oil on his head, one of the disciples stood and said, Jesus, she's wasting a year's worth of wages. You know what Jesus said? You let her alone. And you know what I heard him say? If we who are here today and we who are listening, you know what I love about ministry? You know what I love about being a pastor? It's a big, big world out there, big scope, and everybody has something, and we're so blessed to have Christian TV. But I love it when he just talks to us. Just plain old Porterville, Woodville, Delano, Tarabella people. You know, just us. And he said, I know who's going to be in the house. And if you will tell them to bring their brokenness to me today on this day of fulfillment, just tell them to bring their stuff. And tell them to bring their broken heart. Remember, he said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. The woman was brokenhearted. She was a mess. She had done so many things she shouldn't have done. He said, let that girl come over to me. And she went over and poured it all on him. And you know what? I'm going to ask you just to pour your brokenness on him this morning. Just pour it out. Because he said then, he said, let her alone. And you know what he's going to do? When you pour out your mess on him this morning, your hurt, your brokenheartedness, your stuff, your lack, your misunderstandings, when you break that old broken heart you just poured on him, he's going to say to that devil, he's going to say to that hindrance, he's going to say to that two-legged devil that comes against you all the time, he's going to say, let her go. Let him go. You leave them alone. He said, let him alone. And after he said, let her alone, he said, she's done good to me. She's done good to me. And then he, listen to this. I'm glad he said this. He always goes a step farther. Jesus didn't have to say all this, but I'm glad he just goes one step farther. And he said, she's done all she could. She did everything she could do. That's all she had to give me was that oil. And she gave it. Would you stand with me once more? So how many of you would just like that word? Let him go. Hear the master say, ah, she's done good to me. To hear sweet Jesus say, you've done all you could do. Your heart's been broken. It's been busted and disgusted. And you're so tore up from the floor up, you don't know what to do. I want you just to pull up both hands close to your heart, would you? Like this. Jesus, we humbly come to you right now. Some with major broken hearts. Some with grief and pain of the loss of a loved one. Some just doesn't know where to turn or what to do, such lack. Maybe lost their business, lost a loved one just recently. Whatever the pain is, or still the pain and the fire of the divorce, the harsh words, the mess. Father, would you take our alabaster box? Come on, just do this, church. Look. Just pour it out on him. Come on, just let it go on him. Just pour it on his head. Jesus, you feel that? You feel that? We're no different than that woman. We just pour it all over you. We just pour it all over you. Do you feel that? Oh, now, I hear his sweet words because he said this is the day of fulfillment. He said, let my daughter go. You let her out of that prison. You let my son go. You quit hindering that which I brought to be a blessing, you hindering spirit. She's done all she could do. She's prayed every way she knows to pray. He's done everything he knows to do. And now I receive him. And the Bible says that this became a memorial for that woman. Today, 2,000 years later, I'm still telling you about that woman. Why? Because Jesus thought it was important enough to write it down. He said, look what this girl did to me. Oh, how he loved her. She broke it and poured it out. All right. We're going to come to the table now. Would somebody just lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's not get in a hurry. Somebody better thank him for your healing. Come on, maybe right now as you begin to praise him, healing will come in your body. I believe some already received your healing at home. Your mended hearts have already been healed right now. I mean, God is healing. Brokenheartedness. Your heart's been broken. Jesus is the healer. Oh, he loves you. How he loves us. Whew. Look at me a minute, church. Little devotional I put on our website, on our Facebook page this week. I noticed when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, the Bible said, he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And when the little boy brought him the fish and loaves, he said, oh, I bless this and break it. And he prayed over it and gave it to the disciples, and it increased. Look, when you thank him, it'll resurrect dead things. Somebody better thank him today. It'll resurrect the dead. when you praise him, it will bring increase into your money. It will bring increase into your love. It will bring increase into your home, increase to your family. He increased when he said, Father, I thank you for the fish and the loaves. Just a simple thank you. Now I'm going to read to you. Mark 14:22. Oh, I love this. 14:22, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread. Listen to this. Here's what's getting ready to happen when you come and pick up the little cup and bread. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he blessed and he broke it. He blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Mine. You will see him. You will see him. And he took the cup when he had given thanks. He gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. I shed it for all of you. So would you come to the table, please, and get your cup? Just come and get it. Come on, help yourself. Just come and pick up a cup. Take it back to your seat with you. Up to heaven. Jesus, we are aware, we just read it, of what you said about this little piece of bread. You took the bread and you blessed it, and you broke it, and you gave it to them, and you said, eat this. You said, this is my body. You didn't say it's like my body. You said, it is my body. After you broke it, Lord, when you praise and when you think, something supernatural always happens. Lazarus got up from the dead. The lunch was increased. And when you bless what we have in our hand, you've already blessed it. Then it brings healing and strength and power to and length of days to this poor old body of ours. So, Lord, we just want to give you thanks for your body. Whew, would somebody just repent of your sins right now? If you've committed any sins, he will forgive you. He said, I will heal your body and I will forgive you. And I will cleanse you and I will wash you. In Jesus' name, I receive you as Lord. In Jesus' name. If you've done that today and you can receive, if you believe what you just said, how did we get saved? By words. You just prayed. Let us receive this, the body of the Lord, in faith, believing for the blessing of our lives on this day of fulfillment in Jesus' name. Let us partake together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody, just thank him. I hear you still opening the packets. Just hold the little piece of bread between your tongue and the roof of your mouth, and it will melt. Thank you, Father. Come on and thank him. Come on and thank him. You need something resurrected this morning. Oh, Father, we praise you for our healing. We thank you that you have opened the sight to the blind and you have relieved people from prison houses. You brought healing to our bodies, and we believe a change to our nation, a change to our nation. Lord, there's fightings over the election, but Father, you have the final election, your election. Yes, Lord, I believe in the election. You elected, Lord, you elected this nation. You elected Israel. Father, you have elections and plans. Father, we can destroy the plans and we can walk out of them. But today, Lord, we want to fulfill your plan. We want to see this great harvest come in. The mighty harvest, Lord. The great evangelistic harvest that you were talking about. Prepare us, Lord. Church, you know what the juice cup is about? Keeping us total, walking in total wholeness, body, soul, and spirit. He said, I will make you whole, blameless. I will preserve you blameless to the coming of the Lord. Oh, don't kid yourself. He is preparing his body, for he will soon be revealed. In Jesus' name, let us receive of the blood of Christ. He said, this is my blood. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Thank God for his grace and mercy. Let us drink and enjoy together and receive. Wonderful Jesus. Could we just sing Amazing Grace, Pastor Linda? Think about it, church. Think about this.
How
I want to bless you right now, and I'm going to dismiss these that are going to be baptized. You may go. And those of you that want to be dismissed, you can be dismissed after the blessing, or you can stay and see these six precious souls come to the baptismal waters and identify with their salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ living within them. You're welcome to stay, but just don't go in the middle of it. Oh, Father, we praise you. Come on, lift up your hands and thank him for what he's done today. Would you please testify if Jesus has touched you? If he has healed you today, please tell one of us on staff. Please let us know you've been healed, you've been delivered, you were ministered to today. Father, we praise you for the healing power. We praise you for vision restoration. We praise you for the healing of the brokenheartedness. We praise you that a misunderstanding has been solved. Thank you for forgiveness, Father. We love you and we thank you, our rock, our wheel in the middle of the wheel, in Jesus' name. Now I bless you in the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, and give you peace in your home, in your life, in your ministry, in your money, in your mind and in your heart, in Jesus' name, amen.